All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, one of the things we must learn is how to look at life from a positive perspective. It's very important. It's very, very important that as children of God, we always think like winners. We don't think like losers. I read an article the other day in the papers. A man was writing to, he lives outside Nigeria basically, but I think from his writing, he does a lot of things in Nigeria also. So he was writing a letter to his fellow Nigerians in diaspora, you understand? And I was trying to explain the fact that they should stop thinking that things are not moving, but actually things are moving. He was trying to explain that. And now it's so unusual. You hardly hear people. You hardly read things like that in the papers. You hardly do. I was really impressed. I don't know which of the papers. That was just this last week. I said, this is good. Some people are learning how to think. Because if you keep on thinking negatively, what happens is that opportunities will pass you by. Good things will be happening. You will not notice. And you know when, how many of you have heard of UWIN? Youth Enterprise for Innovation Initiative. Youth Initiative for Enterprise Innovation. Anyway. Long name, Youth Enterprise with Innovation Nigeria. The idea behind UWIN anyway is that federal government gives grants to people, and a grant is different from a loan. A loan you pay back, a grant, you just want to be sure you used it for what you say you will use it. And these guys are giving up till now, give up to 10 million naira to an individual. And the number of people you and I know, you know, they've won it, all right? But you know the interesting thing that when it first started, most Nigerians didn't just vote that. They just had some of those things. It was when they saw young men, young women collecting federal government grants and starting businesses. That was when people began to queue up. All right. So those who have a positive attitude, they tend to have an advantage in life. That's the matter of fact. They tend to have an advantage. And one of the things you will realize is that the number of doors open are more than people easily see. And only a man, a woman with a thankful heart, a grateful heart, sees the doors that are open. You know, in life, God opens doors, like I was saying the other time, and he doesn't force you to go through them. He just opens the doors and tells you, the door is open. And you look, it looks closed sometimes. And if it looks closed, it's because your eyes are not yet holy. Did you hear that? Did you catch it? God doesn't lie. If he says the door is open, you know what it means? It is open. If it looks closed, just continue going there. When you get there, stretch your hand towards the handle. All right? Turn the handle and push it. It will give. If it doesn't give, he says it's locked. No, he said God said this door is open. So you go there and push it. If God says the door is open, the door is open. You get my point? And go and check the land of Israel. Most of the portions of land he gave them, they had to fight for it. And he said, I have given it to you. Now begin to contend in battle. Waiting now. You say you gave it to us. Must we fight? Now so life be, because a great and effectual door has been opened unto me, Paul said. But what? He said, there are many adversaries. Thank you. There are many adversaries. The door is there, but there are many adversaries. And that's just the way life is. There's nowhere on earth, all right, that you don't have many adversaries. You know, if you travel abroad, you go to Europe, you go to North America, when you first arrive, what will first interest you is how neat and how nice the whole place is. All right? And then I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, interesting part, if you live here, after 2-3 weeks, you will forget. You see all these good roads and constant water, it will become normal. And don't let me say almost everybody. But most people I know, Nigerians who have lived there for a while, they're always looking for ideas on how to come back home. And they come home and complain like everybody else. It tells you that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. Many of the things that people are running for now, you get there, the roads are good. You understand what I mean? You get there, you just see water is flowing. After you see flowing water for 2 weeks, you realize that either it's flowing or you're collecting from bucket. Water now, water. Yes, and you realize that those who saw the water flowing, after a while, they realize that there are many more things happening in life than, you know, water flowing from, you know, from taps. Because I'm trying to explain something, all right? There's a principle there that you see, when people have a negative attitude, all right, they will realize that, why I say that, sometimes people who are living in such a place, they don't even see it anymore. They realize that there are greater things happening in life than those things. So, but when people think that that's all there is to life, their eyes become closed. They don't see opportunities. That's what I'm going to emphasize. They don't see opportunities. And if you have a negative attitude towards life, if you are not grateful, I heard my wife sharing a testimony earlier about a woman who wanted to conceive for years, and she was always praying. You know, I told you many of the prayer points we have are the reasons why God can't answer them. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Many of the prayer points we have, it sounds like funny English, but listen to it. The fact that we pray over them so much is the reason why God can't supply those things. We are clinging to so much to it. Say, Lord, I have come today. In the name of Jesus, you will give me a new shirt. In the name of Jesus, suit. I paint the suit on the wall. I'm calling my shirt to be. I want the shirt to be a Calvin Klein. Praise God. A TM Lewin, 2M Lewin. After a while, God says, leave that boy. Leave him naked. He doesn't even know what's important in life. Once he's showing up, the angel says, he has come again, Mr. Shirt. You understand my point? He's making a prayer point of things that are not important. He's always whining and complaining. Because things that he doesn't have. Well, God says you have more things than you realize. There are more things to be thankful for than to complain about. And when people don't have that positive attitude, that's where I was going, their eyes are blinded. They can't see. And if you cannot see, good things will be happening, they'll be passing you by. Good things will be happening, they will be passing you by. People say there are no jobs, and you wake up every day and start whining, there are no jobs, no jobs, there are no jobs, no jobs, there are no jobs, no jobs. Everybody sing with me, there are no jobs. You sing every day, no jobs. And then those who are singing with you, they'll be getting, those who you think are with you, they'll be getting jobs and telling you, now, wow, no jobs. So you say, yes, no jobs, don't mind them, no jobs, because they can't tell you the truth. That's why we are working now. You call them and say, Fredo, how far now? Oh, but you know this country is bad. Fredo says, yes, now wow. Well, Fredo is managing somewhere and beginning to grow and increase. And so you go, why, after 10 years. You won't realize it, but slowly, slowly, Fredo don't leave you behind. The difference is that he only says that thing when you are calling. At other times, he doesn't. He's busy looking for the things that God, all right, is doing in his life. Very important. You see, there's a story of Hagar. I like to use to illustrate this all the time. And I have to talk about that. Just to let you know the issue about opportunities. There was a time that Abraham sent Hagar out of the house. And then Hagar was there in the wilderness. And at a point in time, she became really, really sad because the son was about to die. They were left alone in Genesis chapter 21. And you see in verse 15, because Abraham gave them only, Genesis 21. You see in verse 15, Abraham gave them only a small, only small provision did he make for them as they were living. The Bible says in verse 14, just took bread and a skin of water. And that's what he gave to them. That Hagar and his son, that Abraham's son. When the water and the skin was used up in verse 15, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away. For she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. She was some distance away. And then God heard the lad crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you? You know, something struck me now. God didn't hear Hagar crying. He heard the lad crying. Did you just notice that? Yes. That God had compassion on the boy, not on the whining woman, grumbling and complaining. The Lord heard the boy crying, the little boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you? That is, the problem was with Hagar, even though God heard the boy crying. He said, do not fear, for the Lord has heard the voice of the lad where he is. That is, for your own voice. I don't know whether is that striking you? You know, until I read it now, I preached from here before. That never even occurred to me. That God didn't hear it. I wasn't listening to Hagar. Hagar has been whining and complaining. It was a little boy that the Lord had compassion on. Are you getting the point? Now, but that's not where I'm going to. He now said to her, "Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. And then God was with the lad, and he grew and lived in the wilderness and became an archer. That's verse 20. Now, I want to just stop reading there. But why did I read this? I want to point out something. That as long as Hagar was whining and complaining, there was a well that she did not notice. That's what I'm going to explain. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And my understanding of it is that if you go through life complaining and whining, you will miss a lot of opportunities. If you are a complainer, a grumbler, you will always miss opportunities. If you're always seeing things that are not working well, you're always seeing where things could have been better. And there is this funny thing, when you're always looking at your mates, which I have told you they don't exist. I hope you understand that. They really don't exist. You don't have mates. All right? Look to Abraham, your father. I called him alone. There's a race that is set before you, not before us. You understand? Everybody join together. No, the race of the spiritual realm is one person per event. Did you hear what I said? It's one person per what? Event. You're not there to beat somebody else because each person has his own race. You can be, a race may be set before one fellow. It's 100 meters. Your own is only 20 meters. But you think that you have to be pursuing what that guy is pursuing. Then you don't, if you are just running, the guy looks like he has gone ahead. But actually, he's not going to where you are going. He has 100 meters to run. You have only 20 meters. So even though your own gun has not gone off, the guy has taken off and you look at it. Look, he's already running now. They say, wait. He said, no, I'm going to start it. Then they disqualify you because you are looking at somebody else who is running 100 meters when you had only 20 meters. The shot you had was for him to take off, and you know. But after the guy had done like 40 meters, you are still on one spot waiting for them to, you know, shoot your own gun so you can take off. You say, now, so this guy go, when a person go lose, now you begin pedal after the fellow. You are pedaling after the man, not realizing that. You are not going in the same direction. In fact, funny enough, your own track may be facing one, not to the left. But you are so focused on that man, you now start running towards his direction. So the harder you run, the farther away you are from your ordained destination. God forbid, Martin. Bishop Oedipo said, what's the use of speed if you're on the wrong road? He said, only takes you farther away from your destination. You're supposed to be going to Port Harcourt, you face on each other. Say, this car is fast. No matter how fast the car is, you're getting farther and farther away from Port Harcourt. That's what people enter into when they are focused on other people. The people are going in a different direction, though. Just be careful. So when people look at that, they are discouraged. And their own opportunities come in life, they can't take it. They can't take it. Why? This was a business Chinedu did and he made it. You have no skill for it. You have no calling for it. No grace. God is not opening doors for you there. And then you are on it, morning, afternoon, and night. And let me tell you, God is very kind, though. But that kindness, it gets limited. God, you know, he came. How come this thing I've been supplying stuff for the last 3 years is not producing anything? The husband man said, please give me one more year. See, the Lord was counting the years. They came the following year. How far? Is that the keeper of the garden said, even me, I'm tired. Cut it down. What I'm saying is that we have to, you know, be careful that we are doing what God wants us to do in life, all right? And not let life set us in another direction. I said all of this by bringing an issue that, trying to bring an issue that when people are complaining too much, one of the reasons why they complain is that they are looking in the wrong direction, what I call the wrong pacers of life. Pacers are the people that help you go faster, all right? So if you have wrong pacers, you know what pacers are? If you're those who do long, like what they call marathon, all right, long distance, there are people who are not in the race, who are put in there just to keep them on their toes. Because if you are very far away, you're alone on a stretch of road, all right? you easily get, it's a psychological thing, you slow down. Right? So the pacers are there. They are not running as, they are not going as far as you are going. But by seeing them all the time, that's how people like Haile Gebrselassie, that's how they can do what they do. They see those guys, they help them move faster. So I talked about different pacers in life. All these ones I've talked about are the wrong pacers in life. Look at your friend. He's running a different race. You think he's on your own way. No. You know? So when people look at the wrong pacers in life, what happens is that they start getting discouraged. And when they are discouraged like that, they look, doors of opportunities will be closed. I told you once, a young woman I saw where I used to repair generators. She found out that day that I work in UNTH. She said, "Eh, you work in UNTH?" I said, "Yes. Any matter?" "Yeah, I didn't know I knew people there." That is, once she now realized I work there, she said, I said, "Okay, you know people there. What does it matter?" He said, "They advertised the other day. I didn't bother applying because I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know that you worked there." That's how people close doors of opportunities against themselves. I don't know what will have happened to her, whether they will have employed her or not. But one thing is certain, if he did not apply, they could not have employed her. And there's one of our brothers, he told his own story, which was very interesting. He said, you know, his own story went like this. He finished school, he's a doctor, and where he went to school, University of Benin, he decided by himself. God didn't speak to him. He decided by the satanic interactions of voices, you know what I'm saying, of life, that he didn't know anybody, therefore they wouldn't give him a job. So he did not apply. Unfortunately, or fortunately for some people, unfortunately for him, everybody that applied, every single person was employed. He gave me the testimony himself. Why? Because by the time the interview opened, all right, if they needed 60 people, the applications were only like 40. So they were desperately in need of people. So they employed everybody that bothered. And the place where he thought he knew people, I think that's what they said, we didn't need people anymore. So that's how. And that one, he didn't have to travel. He was just where he was. You're getting my point? Listen, many times in life, we are the ones that close doors of opportunities against ourselves because of wrong thinking, wrong attitude, constant complaining, constant whining. I like that testimony my wife gave at the beginning of the woman who told her, listen, the Lord just said to her simply, one way or the other, you've been complaining plenty. Why don't you just settle down and start thanking God for what you have? As she began to give thanks, it's a spiritual principle. Her whole system relaxed and she conceived and had a child. You're getting the principle. Grumblers perish in the wilderness. Murmurers perish in the wilderness. Now let me just say something to you quickly about murmurers. They think they have valid reasons to murmur. You hear what I said? You heard me say amen?
Amen.
They think they have what? Valid reasons to murmur. But they still perish in the wilderness. The wilderness is the way of God into the promised land. Murmurers still perish in the wilderness. Now, go and look at those, just think about those Israelites for a moment. Were they eating garlic in where they were coming from? Yes, they actually were eating those things. But because they were used to murmuring, they didn't even realize that there was deliverance from slavery. I don't know what I said. That's the problem. Murmurers don't, they just look away from all the good things and focus on the bad things. And they are so focused on them, those things are real to them. But what's the warning? They always perish in the wilderness. They don't make it to the promised land. Being a Christian, I found out it's actually, now, please understand what I'm trying to say. It's a fun, it's a kind of dangerous game. What do I mean? If you don't, look, when you leave Egypt, you have to enter into the promised land. Otherwise, you will perish in the wilderness. So it's better to just stay behind in Egypt. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I mean by the dangerous part of the game. Better to just stay behind in Egypt. But once you leave Egypt, you must enter into the promised land, otherwise you die in the wilderness. He said, but I want to enter the promised land. Yes, that's the point. That's why we learn like this. We have to learn. We have to learn how to behave in such a manner so that we will enter into the promised land. One of the things we must never do is to make murmuring part of our lives. Everybody has been promoted. Why not me? Forget that some people have been sacked. So your own lack of promotion. You are getting what I'm saying? But some people were sacked. But people don't think about that. They don't think about it. They don't think about it. There's a murmuring spirit. It's a let me use the expression. It's a murmurous spirit. So at least what I don't have yet, that's a problem. Not what I have. And then the fellow is sad. The spirit is down. And then doors of opportunity will be opening every day. You cannot take advantage of it if you are like that. I read the story of Hagar to bring out the issue that there was a well there. Hagar did not see it. In fact, as I was reading, I realized that God did not hear the voice of Hagar. God heard the voice of the lad. Why? Hagar was complaining. Don't forget the reason for the reason why they kicked her out of the house in the first place. She was feeling too tough with herself at the time. I hope you're getting my point. I hope you're getting my point. You must always have the winner's perspective to life. That is the only way you will eventually win. You must always have a winner's perspective. You know, one of the things I hate most is when people have an oppressed perspective. It's always them. They want to oppress us. They join those who are looking for deliverance from imaginary oppression. Everything that's done against them, there's always a reason. Because they think they are more than us. Meanwhile, the man who did something against them was looking. I mean, he wasn't even thinking. He didn't greet me. It's because he's rich and I'm poor. He didn't see you. He greeted everybody else. He didn't greet me. Don't worry. I will make it one day. You can't make it one day with that attitude. Better hear it now. No, the attitude is here that will not let you make it. He asked a man one day, when are you going to preach in your church? He said, wait now, when I buy my car. You should know that guy will never preach. He will even if God wanted to let him preach. Once he uttered that statement, that's it. God said, give me my microphone. That guy is not preaching here. He didn't cross his mind that maybe it's because he doesn't know anything. That's why he didn't give him a microphone there. He asked the man, and most everybody, do you understand? Because he thought that, yes, not all those preachers, each one of them have a car. So it's the reason why they are the ones preaching in the church. When I heard that, I said, that fellow ain't going to preach. In fact, don't let me say ever. But let's say in a very long time, God will collect his microphone and hold it. Like I always tell people that I've gone to preach before on a motorbike. And I'm not joking. And it's not mine. You know, if the bike is yours, it's even good. It was not even mine. It was hired. $20 from the closest junction to the venue of the event. If you don't like it, don't listen to me. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Instead of the man to acknowledge that, look, listen, that's not my, maybe I'm not called there, the time hasn't come. Just look for something else to say. But because he has an inferiority complex. You know, one of the earliest things the Lord delivered me from, I don't even know when he did it. One of those graces that God gave me early in life. I can't remember having an inferiority complex. I mean, I've had it some time ago. I just can't remember anymore. The Lord weaned me of it rapidly long ago. As a poor used copper, I could walk into the midst of billionaires and not feel anything. Or they will come with private jets. I come with private shoes. And God is my way. I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't feel anything. I would even call them, as me, they are my age mates and, you know, that level. I would say, what? Which one will be your own? Now you get that golf stream. Boy, now, wow. You know, that's the way I used to respond, though. If I will run and say, come, let me go and see your cockpit. That's the kind of person I was. I look at, you know, I would jump inside the plane. Assume it happened, you understand? I would jump inside the plane and say, oh, wow, this is your own. You know how I reach that guy, own. Let's go and check the other girl. No, that's it. At the end of the day, I wave everybody bye-bye. I wear my locomotive shoes and I move away. And I won't get woman, I say, God, you make me see shame today. Oh, God, as you can't disgrace me. What kind of nonsense is that? I want to get home and say, oh boy, see what that is. You understand my point? It's excitement. I tell once in a while, a friend of mine, I want to look for him in church one day. I knew the service he will attend, so I waited for him outside. When he drove up, this was shortly after I finished NYC, he was working in a company where they gave him those days when most Nigerians, even Tokumbo self, never even began to arrive plenty that time. It was the days that most of the cars on the road were the old 504s, you know, that kind of thing. I had a brand new Dale Racer. So I was waiting for him. It was my classmate in school. As he arrived, he passed by me, white vehicle, went to park. When he came out, he was wearing a brown suit. I still remember very well. I remember, I did like the way, my God, this guy is looking good. When I saw him, I gave him a good hug. Next time I went to my tailor, I made a brown suit. That is to tell you the kind of impression he had on me. That, my God, this guy, and that's it. I was so excited. Ah, oh boy, and gee, I don't know how to say it again. Remember, their stomach will just pause. Say, eh? Go with all this prayer we prayed. That's it. You know my issue? I had a winner's attitude. I've always had it. God gave that unto me by his word. Ask my wife, sitting down here. She used to think that I was too full of myself. I know what I found out later. I was indeed very full of myself in God. Yes, and I thank God for John G. Lake. John G. Lake said it nicely that if you have power with God, you can't help but brag on it. God said, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. The strong man should not boast in his own strength. I'm adding many things. The rich man in his riches. He said, if you want to boast, it's all right. As long as you boast in one thing, in your knowledge of God. He wasn't saying that, say, I know God more than the rest of you. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that boast in the fact that whatever I am in Christ. That's what he was saying. Listen to me. These things have practical outworkings. Listen, I say this all the time. Those who go for interviews, you know, want to have a job and all of that. Let me just drop this. Never allow any interview you are feeling in need. You're like, I'm going for this interview. I need it. God, don't go for it. You don't need that one. I don't know. I get what I'm saying. If you have this begging spirit with you, forget it. In fact, they shouldn't employ you. It's not good for you. No, it's not good for you. I was reading one article the other day. The fellow said that he was writing on, is it 10 or 6, 8 questions not to ask in an interview. All right? Because oftentimes at the end of an interview, they tell, okay, any questions? Do you understand? He said there are questions you mustn't ask. Now, I don't have all of them in my head, but if you run through them, what I noticed about them was that don't ask questions that make it look as if you're a beggar. You understand? You have this need attitude. Ask questions that make it appear that you are a giver and you are an asset to people. Now, sometimes there's an article I wrote titled A People Without the Spirit. What I mean is that people will now learn that and cram it and try, but they don't have the spirit. What I'm preaching is the spirit. To have the spirit, that's not a begging spirit. So even if you have never read that article, there are questions you will not ask. Do you understand my point? That's what it means to have the spirit. A lot of people, they don't have the spirit. They just learn the motions. Say there are 10 questions I mustn't ask. So what are the other ones I will ask? And once they are asking it, the interviewer can perceive that this is a rehearsed something. You understand? Like, for example, they said, don't ask a question like, how much do I get paid? When am I supposed to close? How many weeks holiday do I get? You know, those kind of things. As you're asking those questions, they are sacking you before they employ you. The person who wrote the article, I'll still look for it. What they were saying, that you ask questions that show that you are interested in the work, not just in the pay. Are you getting my point? Like, okay, when there are problems, who do I talk to? You know, stuff like that. Things that show that you are interested. And very, very importantly, let me quickly drop this. I said something earlier, let me repeat again. You can go and cram the question not to ask and cram the ones to ask without having the giving spirit, without having the winner spirit. That's what I call a people without a spirit. That's not good because you will blunder in another way. But what I want to emphasize is that if you have the right spirit, if you have the winner spirit, if you have the overcomer spirit, if you actually have the giving spirit, there are questions that will come out of you naturally and some that will not. All right? Let me finish. There's something I'm going to bring up from there. One of the things that give you confidence is, one, don't apply for every kind of job. What am I talking about? Am I doing job consulting now? It's not every kind of job you apply for. Yes, really, really. If you say, I just have to do something, then go and join the people down there and be washing cars there. That one is, you know, those basic menial jobs, which they are good. They earn good money, you understand? But if it's like proper work, it's not everyone you apply for. If you don't have interest in it, I have nothing, you don't know how to do it at all you just know is about the pay, don't go there. You're a winner. Don't bother. Go somewhere else. Go and sell a recharge card. It's okay. I'm serious. I'm not joking about what I'm saying. All right? I'm not joking. I mean it literally. Life is not all about money. Now, that's what I'm saying. So, if there is something you actually have interest in, you should be learning about it ahead of time. Why am I talking about that? It builds confidence in you. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. I used to make a joke with my wife those days. I asked her a question one day, what is the lending rate, something like that in her bank? She said, I don't know. So I asked my wife some questions, said, go and ask Samuel. I said, why should I go and ask Samuel? You are superior to Samuel in the office. I said, you go and resign from this job. And I meant it. I said, no. Madam, come on for this work. This work is not the will of God. And I was right, praise God. So one day she took paper and resigned and came home. And say, you just walk away from a job in a bank? Yes. Because I don't have the spirit. But if they wanted to sell the bank, my wife would buy. She had the spirit for that one. The Lord is good. And those who know her well know what I'm talking about. They went there and said, one day she will walk back. Same, I know. She will walk back to one of those banks and offer to buy. Do you understand? So what are you doing? You want to be a banker? No, I like it. I want to own it. I maybe sell it after some time. I like this building. We'll call this building off. It's a waste of money. We'll sell this one. I'll pocket a few billions of naira after like a year or two. Some people have spirit for different things. Stop queuing up in a place where you don't have the spirit for it. You understand? You know, every question is head-racking for you. Nothing comes bubbles out of your heart. I'm talking about that because you need to build up what? Confidence. You understand? So if you're in an interview, when they will know they are talking to somebody who works here, not somebody who's looking for a job here. You understand my point? You're already working there in your mind. Have you ever seen this movie, Kung Fu Panda? How many of you have seen Kung Fu Panda? If you haven't, I'm hereby recommending it. All these whole movies you are watching, it's a waste of time, most of them. Don't learn anything. Nothing. You're not learning anything. There are a few movies I've seen in this life which I recommend. There are like four of them. There are not too many. Kung Fu Panda is one of them. You know, when my wife and I were watching the film, I told her, look, watch this. The story, now, because if first time you saw Kung Fu Panda is when you didn't know about pandas, you won't realize the irony in that thing. Because you see Po, that was his name. He could move a bit in that film. They made a joke of his being clumsy and being fat and all of that. But the fact is that in real life, it's worse than that. A panda in real life is worse. So if you can imagine it, he had to move with crane, you know, a crane, that's the bird, a snake, a tiger, and the monkey. These are very agile things. Then, now put a panda. Now, but I told my wife something. I said, watch something. He knew more about Kung Fu than all of them put together. Go and watch the movie again. He didn't have the moves. It wasn't that, you know, physically, it wasn't that fit.
But he had pictures of all of them there. And when they dropped him in that hall of ancestors or warriors, he could recognize everything inside there. He knew the story. There was a verse and they say, oh, this is a verse that they say contain all the spirits of so. Hello. If you go ask those other guys, they don't even know what's inside them. He will see a sword. And nobody was giving him a guide of the place. You know, they dropped him alone. He was going around. Oh, this is the sword of the great master. So. That is said to be so sharp, you can cut yourself looking at it. Then he did like this. Oh! That he cut himself without touching it. He knew everything. That is, there was nothing they had in there he did not know. And that's funny move that he used to defeat the other fellow. When that man tried it on him, what they call it, something, anyway, that move. The moment that man tried it on him, he became scared. He knew about it. And at the end of the day, when that fellow was saying that, no, Master Shifu didn't teach you this one. He said, no, he didn't. I kind of figured it out. That's how much Kung Fu was inside him. In reality, he was the dragon warrior. He said, Pastor Frankie, don't watch that film. That is every inch. I must have seen that film. My children and I can act it. Because there's a lesson. Look, the thing has a lesson. What I'm going to say is that, why was he dragon warrior? Was it because he was physically fit? No. That wasn't the reason. It was because spiritually, he was fitter than everybody. He was. He was breathing the thing. He had eaten so much of it. He's sleeping. Remember the way the movie started? In his sleep, he was doing as himself as the greatest Kung Fu, you know, warrior of all time. There is no charge for awesomeness. You remember that? All of you are going to watch Kung Fu Panda after today. You have to. You will get the point. Jesus, you will catch what I'm saying. Said his enemies were going blind just by staring at his awesomeness. At night, his mind was not in the cafe where his father was running. He was dreaming this thing. That guy was a winner anytime. That's the law of it. He's a winner anytime. That's how winners are. Inside them, they have overcome. Outside, he may not look like it. Then events of life now began to play to put him in the place where he rightly belonged according to the kind of spirit that he had. You get what I'm saying? You know, let me tell you the truth. If you have that kind of spirit, nobody can refuse to employ you. They will bend rules to make sure they are employed. People say, you are going for an interview. You are going to wear the best shirt. You get a jacket that matches. Then you have to know. That's what I call a people without the spirit. Is a good jacket good? It's good. I think I'm wearing one. What do you think? Yes, it's good. It's good to look good, but that's not what we are talking about. People now go and spend all their money. In fact, there was one company in Lagos that time, they're owing staff. Staff demoralized. They now got money to buy cars for image. Yes, they were using their money because they wanted to create an image. A body without the spirit is what? Dead. If we're creating an image, the spirit was not alive. So people say, no. Those things are secondary. This is the way I like to summarize it. Adam that comes naked but covered by the glory of God, we get any job. Are you getting what I'm saying? The emphasis is on the fact that it's not what is outward that will get him the job, but what is inside. If the glory of God is really upon him, you are following the point I'm trying to make. Okay? So that's the way it is. Christians, we must always have that overcomer's attitude, that winner spirit. It must be inside us. Everybody, we must have that winner spirit. And then it manifests in the way we relate with life. We are not complainers, whiners, grumblers, who always see things from the negative perspective. Things are not working out. When indeed, things are actually much better than you realize. I was in one of my big shifts today in the office. And we're talking, say, Nigeria, I don't know what's happening in Nigeria. I say, things are improving. He said, you think so? I said, most certainly. What do you think? I said, they are very, very good now. She couldn't believe what I was saying. I said, you are very good. He also has been on strike for some time. We know. That doesn't change the fact that things are very good. You understand my point? It's just one of those things that go wrong, and we'll correct it, amen? We will. Said, are you sure? I said, I'm very sure. We didn't have to, somebody interrupted, you know, because it's, of course, an office, so people kept on coming and going. I wanted to start listing things that have improved. How come I see them, others don't? Because I'm looking for them. Yes. If you sit down together, I will show you things that have improved. You know the funny thing? You may be whining and complaining against our CBN governor. Do you know he wins award every year? Yes. 3 years in a row. He's been the best CBN governor in Africa. You know what? You know, there are things you read. You say, praise God, I'm not one of those that have been whining. When I read it, I said, are you serious? This is the third year in a row. There's one award they give for African CBN governors. He's won it 3 years consecutively. There are those who are sitting down complaining morning, afternoon, and night. He was saying, can you imagine? Boko Haram. Do you know the amount of progress we have made against those agents of Satan? America has not made it in Afghanistan. That's my perspective. With all the drones, all those things, all the technology they have, they give us 1% of the money those guys have spent in Afghanistan. We'll tar all the roads in Enugu and Lagos, and you know, the amount of money. In Iraq, they were spending $500 million a day in Iraq. Did you know that? Oh, you did not know. Oh, when in the height of the Iraqi invasion, the cost to the American taxpayer was $500 million daily. $500 million daily. For the progress we have made, for the little money we have spent, better be thanking God. And the more you thank God, the more you disable the agents of darkness. You see them be whining, there's too much insecurity. I don't know what is going on. These people are just blowing up things. Don't forget that one. We thank, anytime I read in the papers, 74 militants killed. Praise God. I rejoice. This is victory. By area bombardments with, ground invasion with area support. You know, you read that last week. I don't know when this is happening. I say, praise the Lord. We are winning. Now, what am I going to explain? That, you see, there's always something to thank God for, really. That's how life is. There's always enough. There is enough to thank God for. If you're always a whining and grumbling type, you are losing more than you realize. Even if you have lost anything, like the way Bishop Oyedepo used to say it. He said, one day they stole his bag, they traveled or something, his bag got missing. Hey, what do we do? He said, Father, I thank you because I'm not a thief. That was his response. What is the response? Father, I thank you that I'm the one that his thing was stolen. How bad would it have been that I'm the one that is stealing? Oh, I worship you, Lord. Thank you, I'm not the thief. Somebody else is the thief. Now, whatever inside the bag, we can buy again and again. But if we are the thief, that's unrighteousness. Oh. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from unrighteousness. You have that kind of attitude, you are going far in life. Did I hear an amen? Yeah, you are going far in life. Most importantly, that's what I'm making again, that with that kind of idea, your eyes will be clear. You can see opportunities everywhere. Wells that God, all right, prepared by himself to supply you water in the midst of dryness. You will see it. And don't join those who are always explaining away other people's victories and successes. You know, the reason why it's doing well in this place is because, I don't know, traditional people, I don't know how it is in Eastern Nigeria, in the West. They are using something. I've told you to use your own thing. Are you not in the cult? If you're in the cult, say amen. If anybody can use something to succeed, then it's good. It's a good testimony. Because I will use my own thing. And I will succeed double. Say they are sacrificing at night. Say don't worry. My own cult says I should sleep at night. My sacrifice is early in the morning. Then that's Christian sacrifice. It's early in the morning. I wake up early and worship. That worship, that's the killing of goats. They will now start the incantations in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you want to really feel like a juju man, you can also move like, you know what I'm saying? If people are using something, you have something bigger than their own to use. And one of the keys that work in this, our own cult, is this gratitude, this attitude in which we're always grateful, we're always looking at things from a positive perspective. It's not just trying to win, you know, it's because we know that indeed we are winners. Let me say it again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me give you a prophetic word. Somebody said yesterday, I want to repeat, I'll discuss with somebody. He said that after this particular year, he was giving facts and figures. He said Nigeria economy is going to explode, you know, explode in the good sense. Of, that things were going to blow up. He said from 2015, as he was talking, I was believing him. You know, I was believing him. He sounded right to my kind of spirit. So he was telling me the steps he's taking to get ready so as to connect with the explosion. Let me give you an example. He's planning. He's already planning to do a business that requires constant power supply. Did you hear that? A man is planning to supply things to homes that require constant power supply. And he had budgeted it that by 2015, that business will pick up. I said, wow, in my mind, that is good. And let me give you the news again, though. It will happen.
Amen.
I said it will happen.
Amen.
I said it will happen.
Amen.
You know, something's going to happen very shortly. By December, you know, normally in Enugu, power improves a lot. You know why? Because most of the consumers have traveled. Uh-huh. So normally by January, it starts coming down. Something that's going to happen very soon is that it will improve like that. And you come back in January, expect it to start coming down. February, it won't come down. March, it won't come down. I'm not hearing the amen now. April, you are wondering, are they not back? They are back. But something else came back before them.
Amen.
It's called progress.
Amen.
It's called prosperity.
Amen.
And you will be a part of it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me. Good is awaiting you. I said good is awaiting you.
Amen.
Don't let whining and complaining close your eyes so that you don't see the opportunities that God has prepared for you. Progress is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now that my time has finished, what do I do now? I wanted to continue what I was teaching last time, but just because of the time we have left, it's rather short, just have less than 20 minutes. If I start that teaching, now that's to continue from where we stopped, it's really going to be a bit of a problem when it comes to managing our... So let me just finish it with this. The Lord is good. It's one of our incantations we took here some time. I don't even know when, but I just saw it on my computer the other day, and it sounded so anointed. So I said, this would be good to use one of them. If I wanted to send it out by email, but I've not gotten my acts together. So let's just take it together. That would be a good way to finish today. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so what I ended up doing was just to exhort us a bit. Slightly. That was just supposed to be a greeting before I started my message, but it has taken most of the time. So let's just conclude with this, and then we'll be out of here in the next 10, 15 minutes thereabout. Remember what we say all the time? Life is a battle of what?
Words.
It's a battle of what?
Words.
Life is a battle of
words.
And what makes us win is that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Remember what we said, and that's a matter of fact. I say it jokingly, but don't ever forget it. There's nothing you find in amongst human beings that is the most superior one of it is not with God. People join cults to succeed in life. We have already joined the thickest of the cults. If you believe that, say amen. They said they drink blood. Jesus said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. And because of our faith in Christ Jesus, we are partakers of his flesh and we are partakers of his blood. And I said again that we also have our own incantations, which is the word of God. And that is what we use all the time. So let's rise to our feet. Let's just take this one. We go through this and then we are out of here. We'll continue our teaching next time. I hope you are blessed today so far. All right. Now I call this one Confessions of Life, and I want us to take it together. We have taken it here before. It would be a nice one to use to round off today's exhortation. The Lord is good. Now say this loud, say like you believe it, in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
I have passed out of darkness
and I have passed
into light.
Passed
I have passed out of death, and I have passed into life. I have passed out of failure. I have passed into victory. I have passed into success. As it is written. Truly, truly, I say, let me just read it out, then you can, I'll continue the next night. I say, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Therefore, say after me, I have heard his voice, and I have come to life. Now he said, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Therefore, say, everything in me has come to life. My spirit has come to life. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. But in Christ Jesus, I have received life. Because I have heard his word. And because I have believed. Say, my health has come to life. My health has come to life. Because I have heard his word. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Say, my body has come to life. Premature death has been removed. Premature death has been removed. Sicknesses have been removed. Say, Christ is in me as it is written. Therefore, even though the body was subject to death because of sin, yet now I have received life by his spirit. Say, the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ dwells in me and is giving life to my mortal body. Say, life is walking in me. Now, that thing is very important. There's a reason why I said that. Something happened recently and it set me thinking during the night and I came to that conclusion. Now, because of my profession, I'm a pathologist, all right? So we see things and then you see a disease process. Then I remember that Paul used the word walketh, that he was talking about death walking and life walking. I realized that what happens therefore is that, you see, you may find a situation, all right, maybe somebody is chronically ill. Now, this is what the problem is a lot of times. People, a lot of times, expect a miracle. And God can work miracles. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't do that miraculous, instantaneous thing. But life is working. Please, I want you to understand that word, working. If people will persistently believe, the life that is working will eventually drive out that sickness totally. Most times, death takes time to kill people. I understand this biology of this, all right? If somebody has a cancer today, it is believed that it's been there for years. You just discovered it today. That in fact, from the time you discover it to the time it kills the person, it's far shorter than the length of time it has been there. That means death has been what? Walking. That's the emphasis. Death has been walking. All right, let's turn it around. That means if somebody was inherited a problem, it's death that we met there. But as a result of faith, I'm saying to you, life is walking. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Life is what? Walking. As a believer, you can only get better if you maintain your confession of the word of God. Do you hear what I say? Yes, life is getting better for you. People easily get discouraged when they don't see an instantaneous miracle. But I'm telling you, a lot of times, you may not see that, but life is always working. Life is always working. Life is always working. Therefore, declare, say, life is working in me.
Life is working in
say,
me.
The Spirit of Christ is working in me. You understand the meaning of the word walking now? It's converting that which was diseased. It's constantly, because you know, life is very dynamic. Very dynamic. What he's doing there is tilting the balance in the favor of life. That's what the power of the Spirit does. It's inside you. It tilts the balance in the favor of life. But if you get, like I said at the beginning, people are always complaining. They are cooperating with death. So that death starts walking. Death starts walking. Is that walking thing that I'm trying to emphasize? Things, life is not always instantaneous. That's why I tell you, look, listen, take this poverty thing as an example. Listen to me, life is walking. No, notice that, it's walking in you. It's walking. Listen, your children will not know what they call lack.
Amen.
That they won't understand. You know, there are a lot of children who think that, why isn't there no money? Just go and bring it now. You know, that's the mindset, that it's not, there's no money only because you have not gone to bring it. You will have to explain to your children what it means not to have. Because they will ask, look, it's not a bad thing, though. You say, don't worry, you will train them for greater things. You can't. It's not every generation that God trains with poverty. No, it's not every generation. It's not every generation. There are generations you use something else to train them. And God will have given you enough word, you understand, that you know how to instruct children, give them, you know, chores from the time they are young, make them managers in the homes. You know why I said that? Because life is working in your finances.
Amen.
Life is working in your productivity.
Amen.
Life is working. It's working. It's working. That's why the path of the light and of the just is like the light of dawn. So it's shining brighter and brighter. Listen, say it. Say it's working in me.
It's working in me.
The word is working.
The word is working.
Life is working.
Life is working.
Say, because of Christ, and because of his righteousness. He said, life is working in my body.
Life is working in my destiny.
Life is working in my finances.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's declare this again. Say, Christ is my righteousness.
Christ is my righteousness.
I have been made righteous.
I am made righteous.
Like I say all the time, say, I am going to heaven.
Because
I am a citizen of heaven. I am not going to hell. Say it again, I am not going to hell.
Because I'm a child of God.
Because I have given my life to Christ.
Because
I'm not just a church goer.
I am a child of God.
I have believed.
Therefore, I have been forgiven.
Therefore, I am a citizen of heaven. Say it, I do not approach God by my good works.
I approach
him by my faith in Christ Jesus.
I have access by the power of the blood of Jesus.
I have confidence to enter into the holy place.
I have confidence to enter into the throne of grace.
Because I have believed.
Say it,
I am bold.
Because I'm a righteous person.
I can face the challenges of life.
Because I am an overcomer.
Because I am an overcomer.
I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Therefore, I am bold as a lion.
Say, therefore, I am bold as a lion.
Say, therefore, I am bold as a lion.
Let's just wave our hands to the Lord. Just say, Father, we thank you.
Just give him thanks, give him praise, because he's good.
Once again, I say, goodness and mercy will not depart from you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, goodness and mercy will not depart from you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hear this again. The protection of God is upon you.
Amen.
God will deliver you from all troubles.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you go home, you are safe.
Amen.
When you come out of your home, safety is your portion.
Amen.
As you travel to and fro, it is well with you.
Amen.
If you are flying in a plane, that plane will be carried by the angels of God.
Amen.
If you are in a vehicle, everybody that's there with you is lucky.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Because of your presence.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare again that it is well with you.
Amen.
I declare again that prosperity is your portion.
Amen.
Long life is your portion.
Amen.
Health is your portion.
Amen.
No matter the plague that is flying around, it will not come near you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, no matter the plague, from ordinary common cold to Ebola virus, you are immune from them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The healing power of God is working. Say it's working.
It's working.
Say it's working in me.
Working.
Say it is working in me.
It's
correcting every defect in me.
It's
repairing every disease in my body. In my bones,
in my brain,
in my heart,
in my kidney,
in every part of me, it is working. I say to you, it is working in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it is working in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we go, let's just declare upon Nigeria, say, in the name of Jesus.
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 Prosperity is in this land.
Peace in this land.
Say, peace is in this land.
Prosperity is in this land.
Say, in this country,
violence has come to an end.
I say, violence has come to an end.
Disunity has come to an end.
Destruction is only for evildoers.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, Nigeria will not break.
There will not be war.
We condemn war in the name of Jesus.
Listen to me. Just say amen to this.
Anyone who wants to stir up strife for his own personal gain, he will be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That prayer is very important too. When you wake up in the morning, when you hear nonsense, say it. That anyone who wants to stir up strife for his own personal gain, you know, those when we're in university, some boys will not read. They won't go for lectures. When exam is like 2 weeks away, suddenly realize that the vice chancellor has been painting the walls green when the walls are supposed to be printed yellow. And we no go green.
Great universe. Great universe. We no go green. This wall that they are, you know,
and you know mob action. People know they think again. What do they want? They want the vice chancellor to close the school so they can have 3 more weeks, 4 more weeks to read.
Anyway, we had one visit that time.
If you like, when you finish rioting, you come for your exam next morning. The woman not care, Professor Williams. Now, a lot of people behave like that. They want things to scatter for their own gain. There are those who are praying again. Why should this power be constant? We can't sell generator again. Because some have been selling hundreds of millions of naira worth of generator annually. Tell them, find another job. Do you understand my point? You can sell cable to extend the power. You can start selling things that depend on constant, you know, power supply.
Uh-huh.
The other things to do is money. You can go and invest in a power plant.
Uh-huh.
But the point I'm making is this. Many times people want things to spoil for their own personal gain.
I don't know. You may say I'm a wicked man, no? But you get some kind of prayer we're not supposed to pray.
You shouldn't be saying, God, have mercy on them. For how long now? Say, Lord, I give the man 3 weeks to repent. If he doesn't, you can make the judgment small, but remove him from wherever he is. It's very important too. Many crises you find in the country because somebody lost election and he wants young men and young women to be killing themselves because he did not win. It's not right. Are you getting my point? That's why we speak the way we speak. Therefore, let us say in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus.
Anyone who will stir up strife
for
his own personal gain, let the judgment of God fall upon him. That's all I have to say. That is all I have to say. But this country, peace will dwell in it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will walk around securely in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will come to pass, you will start forgetting to lock your door and it's not a big deal.
Amen.
Let me say it again. I said it will come to pass. You know, maybe you are staying upstairs and your door is downstairs. You turn around and tell your wife, did you lock the door? Say, I'm not sure. Say, okay, don't worry, we'll check in the morning. And you will say with confidence, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's not only because we live in a highly gated community. It's because God has blessed us with good security.
Amen.
That will be our testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. Just worship him. Just thank him. It's warfare. Anytime we're talking like this, we're always fighting. In fact, I plan to preach something else today. We just have to fight this war. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. Please, if you don't, one thing you must not forget, let me just say that, is that word, it's working. What did I say?
It's working.
You know why? It's so important, so that you will not be discouraged. Sometimes people are discouraged because, you know, God doesn't work that miracle suddenly. But I want you to hear this. He's working. God is working, that's what I mean. and life is working in you. Life is working in you. Please say it again. Say life.
Life.
Now, don't say it loud. Just say it to yourself quietly. Say life is working in me. It's working around me. It's changing things around me. Listen, you are winning. That's what I'm trying to understand. I feel like telling somebody, you are winning. Don't forget the temporal setbacks. You are winning. You know, you are winning. 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 I say you are winning. You are living. See? You are living. You are not dying. You are living. You are living. You are living. You know, the doctor will say that you have chronic hepatitis, therefore this will happen. Listen to me. No, no, no. In your own case, you are getting healed. You know, healing is healing. It's healing. Is healing, is healing. They tell you you have a chronic kidney disorder. So you see, after some time, over 15 years, the kidney will eventually fail. I said, not in your situation. In your situation, it's getting healed. You are healing. You know, as you grow older, they say that sometimes you start having dementia. No, not you, not you, not you. Your own brain, you are healing. You are healing, you are living. Life is working in your brain. Life is working in every part of you. Life is working in your finances. In that your company, life is working. It's working. It's working. You may not have seen an instantaneous miracle, but don't worry about it. Life is working in you. Life is working in you, and you have overcome in the name of Jesus Christ.